I want to invite you to read along if you'd like to, but you may have already memorized the fourth chapter of Philippians, verses 6 through 7 at least, and you may be able to recite that from memory at least. But we are continuing our anxious for nothing journey, and we are focusing on chapter 8 this week. If you have been trying to catch up or maybe reread the chapter entitled God's Peace, Your Peace. And how do we have God's peace? How do we have that sense of God's presence and that peace that passes understanding? Paul writing to the Philippians, encouraging unity and oneness, but here in verse 7 he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." In chapter 8 of the book we've been looking at, the Anxious for Nothing Journey, Max Lucado writes about a perfect storm, and perfect in the sense of bad, not good. Somehow the word perfect to me is more of a positive term than a negative, and yet the perfect storm and some of you may have seen the movie. I didn't. I don't need any more tension and anxiety than I already have. Thank you very much. But there's a sense in which there's a combining of all of these harsh elements, the harsh conditions of hurricane force winds and cold weather and rain and sailors out in a boat on this rocky, windy terrain and the ups and downs and the crashing and all of that combined to create this perfect storm. Have you ever had your own perfect storm? Or maybe I ought to say, when was the last time you had one? Maybe it was finances and health concerns and maybe things at home and the loss of the job that all combined to create this storm. Or maybe the heavy workload and the expectations of you at home and the lack of sleep, and then we wrecked the car, and then there was this pandemic and all of those forces. Or maybe it was a death in the family. And then a second one and a third one. And then on top of that, someone diagnosed with cancer or... I all of a sudden got this tickle, so if you want to just do that a couple of times for me, that might help. There we go. We need God's peace. The world needs God's peace. I remember back a time years ago when there was so much tension and in the church and in the things that were going on and in life. I just remember that knot in my stomach that was so severe that nothing I could do make it go away. I remember lying on my stomach on the living room floor just to sort of ease the anxiety of that. Life often can turn our stomachs into knots, and the weather of life can change so quickly. Things at work and things at home and financial decisions and all of those memories of lost persons perhaps, or those other losses that might come, those things that might be lost. And sometimes the perfect storm is made up of what ifs, not only the things that are already happening. I've been seeking and trying to encourage us to follow some biblical guidelines. And here in chapter 4 of Philippians, Paul is sharing some proven practices that he has applied to his own life. And so he says, number one, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And That's so important. He says it again. Again, I say, rejoice. Now, how do you do that when you're in the midst of a perfect storm? And yet it's an intentional thing. It's something that we who believe in Jesus somehow need to learn how to apply. And then the second step, let your gentleness be made known to all. The normal reaction in a storm is to panic or to get angry or to send our frustrations flying at one another. And somehow the Christian thing to do, the most Christian thing, is gentleness. And Jesus taught us to turn the other cheek and to go the extra mile and to do the right thing and the good thing. And so let your gentleness be made known, Paul says. And then he says, pray with thanksgiving. And I've tried to add to my daily routine, one of the morning things is to come up with five things I'm thankful for. And some days it's a little tougher, but most days it really isn't that hard to come up with five things I'm thankful for. I have food to eat, and I have good health, and my car started, and the grass is green, and the lawnmower started already. All kinds of things that we can come up with. And somehow, when we pray with thanksgiving, it begins to change us. And yet there's anxiety, there's some uncertainty, some what-ifs out there, some things that may change. And so Paul says, be anxious for nothing. Everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God which transcends, or I kind of like the King James Version, the peace that passes understanding. Peace is what the world is looking for, and sometimes we think of peace, and the world kind of thinks of it as the absence of fighting or the absence of war and strife. The world is all as it should be, and yet somehow peace is, from our perspective, not necessarily as a worldwide thing. I'm not sure that there's a possibility of world peace. It's one of those things that we hope for. The Pax Romana was the period when Jesus was born. The peace of Rome, there was this tremendous, powerful Roman Empire that had gone about all of the kingdoms of that part of the earth and had overcome and overpowered, and most of the kingdoms and most of the nations had succumbed to this vast Roman army. And so they didn't fight. They didn't want to go up against the Roman army again. There was a sense of peace, a sense of everyone kind of being in submission, that kind of peace. Somehow there was world peace because they were all subject to a higher force. During the reign of Caesar Augustus, and Augustus was his title, not his name, the most powerful, the august, the one above all, and somehow that sense of him even maybe being some kind of a deity. Peace is, however, much more than just the absence of war, because if you read the Bible, it's obvious that even in Jesus' time there wasn't peace. The Jews were battling against the Samaritans and the others, and there were forces and fighting and skirmishes and people not getting along with one another, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all of those kinds of things. The world peace, it's elusive. There's always something going on somewhere. The missile that gets shot off over in North Korea, or the bomb that goes off in the marketplace, or somebody opens fire in the marketplace, or the little boy that's crying all alone at the border wall because something happened to his mother and father. The peace of the world, it's elusive. And even our own personal peace is often just a dream, to be released from daily stresses, parental duties, job expectations, those personal expectations, the deadlines, all of those meetings and all of those things that add so much stress. If you could just push those aside, you know, just go off somewhere to a desert island. Well, peace, it's so easily disrupted. The knot tightens in our stomach so quickly, and it's often over what ifs, not what ares. But Paul promises a different peace, a peace that passes understanding. And we read even in our responsive reading about that peace, Jesus said, I'm leaving you with this gift, a gift of peace, peace of heart and mind. It's not the kind of peace the world gives, so don't let your hearts be troubled or afraid. The peace of God is the result of deliverance from me, deliverance from myself. You see, because anxieties are so often my disrupted peace. What's going to happen to me? What's going to happen to my family? What's going to happen to my life? What's going to happen in the things that I'm involved in? And I'm worried about my interests and my prayer list and what's going to happen. And as long as I'm anxious about my things, it's hard to be at peace. And if I'm worried about my family and my community and my people and the people on the prayer list, then how can that peace come? The only way is if somehow I can be delivered from me. The suggestions in Anxious for Nothing and here in Philippians 4 seek to teach us to trust God with our stuff. If I could trust somebody else, if I could give those things as somebody else's responsibility and just put them on their shoulders, then I could be free of that. That's depending on whether that person is responsible, whether I can depend on them to do that. And so somehow learning to trust is our goal. The old song we sing so often, learning to lean. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. And it's kind of a learning process, kind of a practicing kind of thing. It's not something we just say we're going to do that, but it's something that we have to apply little by little. And as I give my burdens to God, if I really lean on Him and say, okay, God, I'm going to leave this here at your feet and trust you for it. There is a peace. Paul tells us it's the peace that passes understanding. God's peace is what we're trying to learn. And he gives us those three action steps to rejoice. Well, how do you rejoice when the world seems to be falling in? Well, to be honest, there are things to rejoice in. There are blessings if we look beyond what I'm going through and say, well, you know, the world hasn't collapsed. And even after all of this pandemic, there still are wonderful people and relationships and things that are coming back. There are blessings of things that are happening in the world, and there's rejoicing. And to be gentle, respond in the way Jesus would respond, and to pray those three steps, they help us somehow to put our focus and our things on God instead of on me. And if I can practice that, then it helps to bring the peace. Do you ever wish to be a child again? You know, just to not have a care in the world, just to let mom and dad take care of it. My 2-year-old grandson, Lewis, has a cast from the top of his leg to halfway across his foot. And how's a 2-year-old get around on one leg in a cast that's supposed to keep you from walking? Well, he does pretty good for a little guy. You figure it out. But you know, His main concern in life is, how do I get around this inconvenience? He's not worried about who's going to pay the bill. He's not really worried about how I'm going to get to school or to the doctor of the hospital. He's not really worried about how much harder I'm making life for my mom and my dad or those kind of things. His main concern is simply trusting mom and dad to take care. His job is just today. The inconveniences and the strife. Well, is it possible we could just rely on God like that? God's peace. Learning to lean, learning to trust. Paul writes, he says, the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. How does your heart and your mind guarded? Well, your heart, of course, is the person you are, that person that we see. You know, the person that we know you to be. And we call him John, or we call him Sandy, because we know them. We come to see them and recognize them, but we know more about them because of who they are. And somehow we learn to know their heart, the way they act and the way they react, and that heart. But if our hearts are burdened, fears, attitudes, bitterness, anxiety, worry, frustration, resentment, past hurts, scars, all of those things that we're focused on, then the person I really am is not the one you see. It's just that anxious person. And sometimes people will say, well, you're not yourself today, or you're not yourself right now. And yeah, there's a reason for that. We've allowed those things to overwhelm us. If the peace of God comes, then if we're able to somehow let Christ guard our hearts and minds by giving those things to Him and just being ourselves again, then our hearts are guarded. Our minds are also guarded, and we'll look the next few weeks about the ability to think on things above. And Paul, in the next few verses that we'll focus on, talks about the things, whatsoever things are true, or things that are lovely and honorable and praiseworthy and excellent, the things that are just and pure, those things, if we can focus on those things above and put our hearts on the things that God's been doing, then somehow there's a sense of our minds being protected, being guarded. And somehow if our thinking is protected and our minds are guarded, then our hearts, that all kind of works together. Can we present our requests to God and then just relax? Is it possible? I think that's a possibility. That's what Paul is encouraging us to do, to rest and relax. Can you think back of one of the most peaceful times in your life? Where were you? What were you doing? What was that like? I remember some peaceful memories in my childhood. It would be the end of a long day, and it would be nightfall, and mom and dad would put us in the tub, and we'd get our pajamas on, and then they would put us in the car. We lived at that time between Interstate 465 and the airport. Now there's boxcars waiting to be shipped and all kinds of stuff there, and there's no houses, and Vinewood Street is gone, and I'm not sure if my climbing tree is still there or not. I probably ought to stay out of that anyway, but somehow I remember we'd get in the car and we'd go over to Highway 40 and down toward Plainfield, and there somewhere down the road was the root beer stand, and we'd pull in there, and the car hop would come, and we'd drink root beer, and sometimes we'd even have ice cream in it, and those peaceful days when the summertime and the lights of the reflections and the bugs on the windshield, all of those memories, and then driving back home, the light from the car behind, you'd see it kind of go down the back of the seat. And somehow that quiet and that peace, that rest, Dad and Mom were in control, and somehow we weren't even afraid of lying across the window in the back. Those were different times, weren't they? But my mind wasn't filled with how am I going to get there? And Dad, why did you go that way? And what are those lights about? And what's going on over there? And somehow all of those things weren't part of my picture. And usually somewhere halfway home we'd fall asleep or just about. And I wonder, is it possible to trust our heavenly Dad like that? Somehow I think that's the goal. I think that's what Paul is trying to say. Somehow there is a peace that passes understanding. We don't understand all the things that are going on in this world. We just understand our little piece of that, and sometimes we're so unsettled by that. What do we do? What do I want you to do? What does Max Lucado tell us to do? How does he describe? Well, if you read chapter 8, you see him talk about the 27th and 28th chapter of Acts, and that passage of Paul across the Mediterranean Sea. We actually did some sermons on that a year ago, that voyage across the sea. And as the sea began to have turmoil, that perfect storm, if you wish, they were trying to get Paul and all of those people to Rome, and the weather changed. But in the midst of that, Paul has a vision of an angel who tells Paul, we'll all survive. There won't be any loss of life. The ship will go down. We'll abandon ship, but everyone will get there safely. And he reviews that story of the journey and Paul and the others. But there in the end of the chapter, he reminds us there are three things that we see in that journey, maybe three promises that might be helpful in your journey for peace. The first is that God has helpers to help you. There's that angel that appeared to Paul, and I don't know if you've ever seen an angel. I haven't, but I think I've experienced one a time or two. I think there are some times when I hit that snow pile and I went off the road and into the ditch and spun around and right back up on the road the same direction I was going. And I don't know if there was a hand that was turning the car and making it go the right direction, but it sure did feel like it. And you've had those where something should have happened and it didn't, or somehow it started out the wrong way and turned out right. And I believe there are unseen forces at work in our world, and that there are results that can happen because God has people and God has His kingdom at work. And there's a second thing that story across the Mediterranean reminds us, and that is that we belong to Jesus. He is our shepherd. He is our guide. And Paul didn't worry because he already knew the shepherd. He already knew Jesus. And the third thing was that he knew he was on God's team. Paul had a mission and a purpose. He knew that his purpose was to go to Rome and to share the message of the gospel. And so he wasn't concerned about getting there. Yeah, there'll be some inconveniences along the way, but he knew God wasn't finished. In Philippians, the first chapter, there's a verse that says, "He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it." He'll keep working with you and in you until he gets you where he's taking you. The journey is up to him. And so the peace that passes understanding, that ability to sense God's power and presence even in the midst of storms. And so rejoice always. Be gentle. React the way Jesus would. Pray with thanksgiving. Don't forget the thanksgiving part. If you always come to God and say, "I want, I want, I want, I want, I want," maybe someday he'll say, "But what about this one? And what about that one? And what about the one I answered there?" And all of those. And somehow if we say, "God, I know you blessed me here, and I know you answered my prayers, and I know that you saw me through, and thank you for that." And and now, Lord, I have another need. Somehow that praying with thanksgiving, it's part of the relationship. As we do that, then we can just wait and let God give us His peace. We can trust Him, allow Him to steer our ship, to believe that He has the best in mind for us. He is more than able to do that which He promises. And so, the peace that passes understanding. Can we trust our Heavenly Dad for that? I believe we can. Let's pray together, shall we? Dear Heavenly Father, help us to remember. Maybe we need to remember to write them down, but at least help us to remember those times when we have experienced that peace that passes understanding. It has been part of our life. We didn't know how it was going to turn out. We didn't know that you were going to provide in the ways that you did. And somehow, Lord, in the midst of all of that, there was just a calm. There was a sense that you have it. And help us to remember those times, Lord, and help us to learn how to, instead of being anxious, to pray with thanksgiving and to react the way you would. Lord, help us to rejoice even in the trials and the hard things, because you're about to teach us something new. You're about to do a new thing in us. And so help us to rejoice, Lord, in those things. God, we pray for that peace that passes understanding today. I pray, Lord, that here in this place, each of us might experience that in this day or week to come. God, we love you and we honor you and we give you praise. And hear our prayers and our needs, but most of all, just be in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.